thanks, Dave. I'd just like to acknowledge the cohorts of this work, Dave, Chris, and Phil. And I'm going to talk to you about, as Dave mentioned, how we've made our control devices or virtual fencing devices, which turned out to be quite useful for writing these catalogs. We've been working, I guess, with automated animal control devices for, well, 4 or 5 years now, and some of the reasons, some of the initial work, was to look at how we can influence cattle behaviour around environmentally sensitive areas, and in particular, riparian areas. But I think automated animal control also offers incredible advantages to the producer, in terms of being able to match feed supply and feed demand, since you could have a situation where you don't have to have fences in particular places, you're probably in the wrong place. You could more closely match, if you know where the feed supply is, you could position the cattle in those areas, and when the cover gets down to the point that you want to bring the cattle on, you would be able to do so. The collars that we've been using use GPS to monitor the position of the animals, and then they have some devices, a small speaker next to each ear of the animal to deliver an audio cue, and some probes at the back of the neck of the animal to deliver a mild electric shock. In terms of the constraints of this system over the years, the constraints have been pretty basically power consumption, although in terms of longer term trials, also getting a device that the animals can wear for a long period of time can be very difficult. To overcome the power consumption issue, we have been looking at recycling the GPS chip to reduce the power consumption. And so the experiment that I'm going to talk about here tries to investigate whether a G-cycled GPS will still give us reasonable control of the animals. By G-cycling, I mean that the GPS and or radio that we have aboard our devices will be turned off for periods of time. So you won't have a GPS or an accurate GPS position at times during the time that the animals are moving. In this trial, we used 40 naive brown steers. We had 4 replicates. They were, and each group was put in a 24-hectare paddock that had 260 metres of river frontage, and we collected background data using our collars for 2 weeks. And that's just to give us an idea of how those animals use that paddock without any control but wearing collars. And then we just send a command to the collars to activate the virtual fence. Off-stream water was available throughout the trial, and in this particular trial, the level of duty cycling we were doing was we turned the radio on for 6 seconds, and all for 54, and we had the GPS on 10 and all for 50, assuming that we get a lock with about 10 seconds. In terms of the results, the collars on average operated for 25 days in this experiment and collected 98% of possible records. In terms of time, the animals spent in the riparian area during the monitoring phase, they spent about 6% of their time in the riparian area, although the exclusion zone that we will set up later was 16% of the paddock. And during the control phase, they spent 0.1% of their time over in that area that we were trying to exclude them from using these devices. I guess graphically, I think we've seen this picture already today, but graphically, this is sort of what we get license showing us where the animals are. We give information about what the collars are doing, how many times they've been given audio and electric shock cues, and so we can monitor the devices during the trial with the system we're using. This is also, I think you've seen, but this is just separating out the use of the paddocks by those animals during the monitoring phase of the trial. And as you can see, the fence line will be here. It's not anchored here, obviously, at this point in time. And this is the river. And as you can see, in this 50-meter wide area, there's quite a lot of activity. But in this sort of 50 meters here, there's a lot less activity as there is in here. Water points in these paddocks are up towards this end. Once the virtual fence has been sent to the devices, this is the sort of pattern of use of the paddocks that we've got. So as you can see, whether those points are real or not, there are a few points where an animal has gone into the excluded zone. But in all cases, they were reasonably quickly returned back to the rest of the herd and back into the area of the paddock that we would try to keep them. It is also notable, though, that by removing that right access to that riparian area, how the animals are using those paddocks has markedly changed as well. And I think that's something we've got to be mindful of. Dave has already talked about the Landscape Preference Index, and so I won't dwell on that. But in terms of the preference for the riparian area during the monitoring phase, these animals had about nearly 0.35 on that index. And during the control phase, that was reduced by about 100 times down to, as you can see there in the graph. I think, in summary, the collars lasted for 1 month, which wasn't quite as long as we'd hoped for. However, the previous best sort of performance from automated animal control collars was sort of more like 5 days. So by duty cycling the GPS to save us some energy, we have increased the amount of time that the collars lasted, but not really make any difference in the amount of incursions into that exclusion zone. And you know, there was quite 100 times reduction in time spent in that zone. That was in our lab experiment. So we reduced something by 100 times. We probably get a paper in Nature or something of science. But that didn't really change very much from when we were running the collars at 100% all continuously. In terms of future directions for this kind of work, we're looking at developing more economical GPS order boards, and part of the issue with GPS is that the amount of power that you can store or generate is larger than the requirement from a GPS chip currently. However, that sort of balance is getting closer and closer all the time. And I think, you know, eventually we will be able to use solar systems to generate perhaps power, and these will last long. Not exactly sure when that will come, but that's the sort of the trend. We're also looking at reducing reliance on GPS for positional data. So there's other methods you can use to position animals in the landscape. As I I said, we're investigating storage options for better storage options, better batteries perhaps, and also power generation from solar. You might use movement or use some of that methane and hook up a small power generator. And one of the things we did also find was that, you know, while our current collar design worked pretty well for experiments in the sort of 2 to 3 weeks up to that sort of air level, I think we now need to put quite a bit more work into a design that's capable of being on an animal for a long period of time while delivering the stimuli that are needed for this type of system.